Well, thank you for coming this morning. We did the same panel last year about National Coming Out Day is on October 11th each year. Who remembers why? This is a quiz time. Okay. So in 1988, it was the anniversary of the first or second major national march on Washington for lesbian and gay rights that took place in 1987. So a year later decided, let's do something to memorize that, memorialize it. So they decided to have the National Coming Out Day to do that. It's a chance to tell stories, to share information, to just emphasize the point of what really needs to take place and what has taken place, and to acknowledge that. And as we know, stories are important. Stories move people. Stories make decisions. Stories move policy in a good and bad way. And so this is an opportunity for us to kind of gather today, talk about some of our own stories, and maybe inspire us to engage with others to learn about their stories. Because stories are about vulnerability and connection as well. And so it's important to do that. Use the term coming out. A member of FFPC, who's not here today, but Dr. Lauren Olson, he says, maybe we should consider the term letting in versus coming out. So you might hear that reference today as well, because it's not like I'm coming out to the world, because some don't do that. They are who they are, and that's important to them. And to say, but you're important to me. I want to let you into my life. I want to tell you who I am. You're important to me. I want to let you into my life. And so it doesn't have to be standing on a stage and making some huge announcement, but for some people, they want to do that. This also celebrates courage, because it took courage for some people to move forward in their life to where they were. You know some of my story. You may hear a bit more of that today. But it wasn't just one and done. It's a lot of internal discussion to do that. So when you leave here today, think about your own personal story. And have you shared it? Do you want to share it? Do you need to share it? And maybe be so motivated to write it down. Maybe capture it for history. This is so important to me. I now kind of do this for what I do every day in my life on your table. Shameless promotion. There's a little card that has the podcast Out Late with David, and it's about stories about coming out later in life, LGBTQ+. Jonathan was the first guest. Thank you very much. To start that out, we've been now in our second year, had 18 episodes, and each one of those stories is different. Different situation, different circumstances, moving and inspirational. So there is power. And when people hear stories, sometimes it saves their life. I've had feedback from just that podcast. One person said, I did not kill myself because I found out there are others like me out there. So don't discount your own story. So if our panelists could please come up here, find, you know who you are, find your comfortable position, bring liquid if you want to have something to sip on. If you want to bring notes or paper, a support thing or whatever, that's okay too. And I want to thank you for doing that. I'm going to let each person introduce themselves when we get to that point. Get comfortable, get the microphone. You can stand, you can sit, whatever. I like to wander. That's why I have this wireless thing. Plus, we may do this like a Donahue talk show at sometimes. If you feel moved to want to engage, that's why I made this wireless, so I can run out to you. If you have something you want to say, that way our Zoom folks can actually hear what's going on as well. So I'm not going to introduce the panelists. I'm going to let them introduce themselves. And I'll model that so they have an idea of what we're looking for. We'll go from there. So it won't be needed to tell your whole story now. It's just be introduce yourself, and then we'll get into that. A few questions back and forth. And if you have questions for each other once we start, then it's okay to ask them, and same for here as well. It's not just me talking and prompting. So let's try to make it as much as a discussion as we can. Everybody understand where we're going? Everybody still awake? Yeah. All right. So to model this basic, you know, introduction, I am David Cotton. Yay. I'm a gay man. He, him are my pronouns. I am a father of two children, retired U.S. Air Force Brigadier General, did corporate stuff after military retirement. I'm now a certified professional life coach and a podcaster that I already told you about with Out Late with David.
Hi, I'm Aria Heisinger. My pronouns are she, her. I'm a trans woman who's been living in Des Moines for about 3 years now. I kind of day job as a receptionist for a local credit union, and then moonlight doing lots of nonprofit work. I sit on like 3 or 4 LGBTQ boards, specifically the intersections of queerness and music. And if I'm not doing either of those things, you can find me at the saddle or the garden doing drag as Tessitura.
My name is Chelsea Lepley. I go by CL among friends, so you can do that. I use they pronouns preferentially, although if you paid attention to my campaign, you only saw she. We can talk about that later. I am a person who has stubbornly resisted having a specific label. I usually say queer. And like Aria, I probably spend as much or more time doing nonprofit-y or volunteer-oriented things as my day job, which after a decade in healthcare IT, I now work at a quaint little video game company here in town. And try to do a lot with getting folks involved in especially local politics. I ran on the east side. If I had won, people ask when I say I ran, people ask if I won. I would say I'm on city council now if I had one. So I ran last year for the Ward 2 seat on the east side. And I'll run again for something else sometime.
Cool. My name is Jennifer Catherine King. I like to say my pronouns are Jen or JK because Jennifer Catherine's just too formal. I guess I've been gay so long, I guess I'm a lesbian, so I forget.
Been gay less long.
Yeah, I don't know. I forget, like, 'cause it's not part of my identity. It's become who I am, and it is what it is. That's just how I've just kind of floated through life. I run a small production company called Invictus Media. We do everything in the content creation space and photography and video. I was super fortunate to start my career at a small shoe company called Nike, and I spent, if you don't have a pair of Nikes in your closet, I don't know if you grew up in America, truthfully. I spent 15 years working for Nike, and then I left to work for I like to tell this to my gay guy friends. I've had the jobs that every gay man has ever wanted. I spent 15 years at Nike with working with incredible athletes, superstars, and then I went to a magazine company called Men's Health Fitness and worked with all the superstars in fitness. So I've had every gay boy's dream come true poster for 20 years.
Which having every gay boy's dream come true might be every lesbian's dream come true, is to have all of their things.
Yes. And I've worked with incredible female superstars as well. So I've had it both, right? So for 20 years, I've spent my life working in the health and fitness industry. And then in 2018, I basically got tired of working for everybody else. You want to talk about glass ceiling, homophobia, misogynistic, whatever. I felt it all, racism as well. So because I grew up as a mixed kid, so I'm half Korean and half Italian. So I looked far more Asian as a younger person than I do today. So if you want to talk about every disadvantage that somebody has felt, and and the glass ceiling on top of it. So I left in 2018 and created my own company, and now I have six people who work for Invictus. One is actually my mentor from Nike, and five young people. So we're actually located in downtown Des Moines, not too far away from here, because that's why I was late this morning. I was on my way to work instead of to Gay Breakfast Club. So I don't know, David, where do you want to start?
That's good. I'm going to actually start with your comment you said about Nike.
Sure.
I was actually late to my trainer yesterday at 9 o'clock,
Okay.
sitting in the parking lot for the shoe drop or for the shoe that I wanted from
Sneakers, the
Nike.
sneakers app.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I got them. I was happy. It was the
That's
first time it actually
did you
came through.
post
So,
it? You got them.
I to a friend, because we're both,
Okay.
he's in California, I'm here, and we've got
Yeah.
this thing about sneakers. But
That's
I'm wearing
cool.
New Balance today. Sorry, this is the other.
I feel like New Balance is going to be, is the, they've signed some incredible athletes recently. I feel like they are the Nike of the early 80s.
These are Action Bronsons. These are actually
Yeah.
rappers. Okay.
Okay.
So from there, let's talk shoes, folks. So thank you for your stories. I appreciate that. And you can already get a sense of maybe some differences from perspective, which is important to know. We're not the same type of people. We have different experiences. You said You've been gay for so long, it's like I don't even really identify necessarily how that is today. So on that, for all of you, you know, was there something that decided, and we'll kind of set coming out kind of as the term we'll use, even though it may not be relevant to you for the situation, but when you had that realization of who you were and you decided to share that, was there something in your life or an event that sparked that action? And we can do this popcorn or we can go down the row.
I'll just go.
Okay.
I'll go. So I actually grew up, I'm your stereotypical military kid. My dad went to Korea, met my mom, brought her back and started having children. So I'm that product of your quintessential GI American story. So I grew up on military bases. You know, my dad was pretty far up the food chain. So, you know, in the 80s and the 90s, it was don't ask, don't tell. It was very, you know, very prevalent. And it's just, as a military kid, you were taught from a very young age, I can't even remember, but pretty much don't mess up because your dad will get kicked out, right? So if you came out gay, there was this huge potential of they'll court-martial your father or your parent. So I was closeted for a very long time. I like to tell people, I knew I was funny, right? Like since I was like a kid, like, you know, Grease was my movie and I never dreamt about John Travolta's punk ass. It was Sandy. So I loved Olivia Newton-John. Didn't know her name. I just knew her as Sandy for the first 10 years of my life. So I never dreamt about, you know, I never talked about Jimmy as my boyfriend, right? I secretly held on that Susie was the cheerleader that I was in love with. So I knew from an early age I was gay, right? But I didn't know it was called gay because I didn't have role models or, you know, a military institution or that lifestyle is very sheltered. So I didn't realize that it was okay to be like that. And so for the first 18 years of my life, I didn't have that. So I was very fortunate. I got out. You know, I knew my only way to get out of the military and the environment and my parents, because my parents were incredibly toxic. You know, for years, my mother, who has a very Korean accent, would be like, oh, Jenia, when you marry men and give me babies. And it's like, oh, I can get married and give you kids, but it's not the traditional way. No, no, it's not the same, not the same. I pray for you, you know? So she tried to pray the gay out of me. But I got really lucky and I took a soccer scholarship, I got a full ride scholarship to Stanford University. And I played soccer there. And I was essentially the poor kid because my family did not help me with college. They didn't, you know, I left. When I left, right? So I went off to college and I took a job. That's how I entered the world into Nike. So Nike was in San Francisco. So it was like a 30, 45 minute drive for me. So I'm in the world of San Francisco and I had no idea that there were so many gay people, you know? So it was amazing to see it. But truthfully, I didn't officially come out for 2 years because I didn't know it was safe to come out. Even though I was in San Francisco and things like that. I mean, if I saw role models of peers, my peers, it was the girls' softball team, and they all were sleeping with each other, and you would see them fight every night at like training table, which as an athlete, that's where you went for dinner. So it was like a little bit of Maury Povich and Jerry Springer, to be honest. So, you know, Ashley was sleeping with Jessica and Jessica was sleeping with Susie. So it was, and then they would just, it'd be like a food fight. It was the best time ever. I loved it. It was dinner and a show thanks to the girls softball team. So, I just basically walked into our locker room. I was like, hey, I'm gay. I don't care what you say. It is what it is. I'm sick and tired of not speaking my truth. So, my teammates were like, cool, we already knew. So you're okay. I'm like, dope, let's move on.
I never went through we were talking about this earlier. I never went through an announcement, but some things that you do sort of announce themselves, right? I started what I believe to be the first Gay Straight Alliance in Iowa in the 90s. If you're the weirdo who starts the gay club, like that's, I didn't have to alert people any later in life. But that getting involved in queer civil rights was a thing that happened to me basically in eighth grade, through when the Young Women's Resource Center was still in Ingersoll. They had programming that was the Young Women's with a Y, Feminist Corps. And so a bunch of us teenagers made some photocopied zines and made our high school principals real sad. And so within a couple of years of each other, it was great to find that support network. I didn't have any friends at my home school, Urbandale, but I had friends at Feminist Corps every Wednesday. And so that meant that the person who started the Gay Straight Alliance at Valley and the one who started it at Roosevelt and I all had each other as well as some supportive adults to advise us and to sort of commiserate. A funny note that I found out at a class reunion as well, when I was at Urbandale doing the Gay Straight Alliance, there were no gay students. But now we just have a ton of gay alumni, so go figure, whatever that. So being able to be a straight ally was, I guess, important to a lot of my classmates. And that lightning rod role of being the first vocally pro queer person in our suburb was, it was a challenge, but it just came naturally to me to sort of speak the truth of like, it isn't right to treat people the way I see them getting treated. And having the sort of plausible deniability of I had a boyfriend at the time, so clearly I'm not gay. So I'm just, I'm a champion for other people who are gay, right? So we were all, doing our best. But yeah, man, since then, like I've looked like this, I have never had to tell anybody that I'm queer. I think when I worked at the legislature, that was how I met Matt McCoy. When I worked at the legislature, I had a thing of like, well, nobody knows I'm not a lesbian. So, because I had really great suits and hair even shorter than this, and very business-like demeanor. So it coming out did itself for me. During the, I think this might be a reasonable time to hit on what I mentioned. When I was growing up, it didn't occur to me, like I had a single dad, and it didn't occur to me that there were like options besides like boy and girl, right? I think that's probably a lot of people in this room. It's like now there's a whole different vocabulary than there was when I was growing up and sort of learning who I was. So it wasn't until I was in my 30s that I started spending time with people who asked me my pronouns that I was like, wow, I can say the pronouns that feel like me instead of the ones that people expect. And so I had been doing that. Growing up with a single dad and a big brother and a very indulgent grandparents, gender was not an influence in my life. Everybody had to do everything all the time. But then when it came time to campaign, I was like, man, I do not want to, I gotta knock thousands of doors, right? And I do not want to spend every single conversation telling a 75-year-old person what it is, singular they, what is the deal, what is in my pants, who do I like. In my head originally, I thought that using non-binary identity and pronouns would reflect like the lack of influence that gender has had in my life, and it, quite the opposite. It meant that I had to talk about it every day, all the time. And so, so for the sake of being able to talk about issues in particular, right? Like, there's some really important things happening at the municipal level and at every level of government. I wanted to be able to focus on those issues, and so that was one where I chose not to let in everybody because I wanted to keep them focused on what I was there to do, which was still, like, sort of try to make people's lives better. So that's been an interesting, that was a decision that I made with some close advisors of, I don't want to seem to be hiding, but I also don't want to make it a huge distraction. And I feel like I made the right choice there for me.
So I've had the perk of coming, the perk and the curse of coming out multiple times as I've tried to figure out who I am as a person. If you go back to like when you're little, before everyone is kind of, you haven't really defined what identity is for yourself yet. You're little, you just like the things you like before the world has told you what to do. I was a like huge girly girl. Like playing, only played dress up at the at preschool, and I would cry. I would utilize crying as a weapon to get the Minnie Mouse dress, in order like to just do what I wanted or be the person that I wanted. Also loved Sandy growing up. Took a couple extra years to figure out I didn't want her. I wanted to be her. So here we are
Fair,
today.
totally fair.
So I came out at 16 as a gay man to my mother. And the first thing she told me was, I love you, be whatever you want, just don't change your name. Your dad worked very hard on that. Sorry, Dad. And that kind of, I didn't realize until much later when I was kind of coming to a whole gender conversation with myself, how much that had actually weighed on me. Because back then I was just like, why would I change my name? I'm just a gay man. It's like not, it's not that big, Mom. And it wasn't until I moved here and actually met trans people and non-binary folk that were living their lives. College is different for everyone, but everyone in college is kind of a mess. So the three queer people I knew in college didn't quite cut it on terms of bit making me or allowing me to have my own gender conversations. But I came to this this amazing city, joined the Des Moines Gay Men's Chorus as one of two people in the entire group that used any pronouns other than he, him. I used he, they. I actually cried the first time I put anything other than he on my little application to join the group. After about a year of that and meeting a lovely little group of trans folks, we grew to like four or five at that point, and a lot of 4 a.m. conversations. I was like, I'm non-binary. I'm gonna live this. This is who I am. I am not a man. Perfect. Not quite. We almost got there. And then another, 6 months after that, break off of my 6.5 year relationship that I moved down here with, and a lot more 4 a.m. conversations. I came to the conclusion, nope, I am a woman. All of those things when I was little of only wanting the girl toy at McDonald's, always wanting to, braid hair and go skip rope. I had no desire to touch a sport ball for any reason. All of those were just signs. I am, to figure out who I was and the things that I liked as a person. And gender is messy. I don't like, I it's kind of what box is going to fit you best, or no box at all for that matter. And at least right now, the feminine labels of, she, her, and trans woman really align best with who I am and who I've been. And so, yeah, I've gotten to come out handful of times. My mom unfortunately passed before I transitioned. So she, I would like to think that she's up there still rooting me on. My dad and I, he doesn't get it, but he said, you're an adult and you can do what you want. Not really close at this point, but maybe someday we'll, kind of rectify all that, but woo.
I have a question. I have wondered, I don't like I've never liked the name I was born with, but I haven't felt like there was one that fit me better. I'm curious what it's been like to ask people to call you something different than they might have met you as, or
Yeah.
has that been a dynamic since I know you said you'd moved and everything.
Absolutely. So it has been definitely a bit of an adjustment. The Gay Men's Chorus was actually fantastic. I came out to them via email. I became the operations manager and said, well, I don't want to sign emails with my assigned, like my birth name. So I sent my very first email as operations manager, blah, 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 signed Aria, which is a name I did find on Google. I did Google search names and spent like a couple hours finding one that I liked. And then, I came into the first rehearsal and everyone was like, so we know you're doing this role, but what is the name? And so I had like a whole little coming out spiel while I was there. After being with them for about a year, I went back to my credit union role, where folks did know me before I transitioned. And the staff has been really great. Well, they're trying very hard, and I admire the amount of effort that they put in. And for the most part, they've done a really good job. But the membership or the customers, not the greatest. And sort of like how when you chose to focus on the issues for your campaign and use a maybe not the most accurate form of yourself, but one that is kind of safer or a little less effortful.
Like more strategic, maybe.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So at work, I do use she, her pronouns. I have a little nameplate right next to my station that has my name and all my information, but I dress not like this. I dress fairly neutrally at work. It's a lot of big, bulky sweaters and, kind of more camouflage because there are a lot of members who knew me before transitioning. And some figure it out and they go, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I didn't know. And some who will actually approach me in the middle of the lobby and start yelling at me when somebody else corrected them. When one of my coworkers who didn't respect my wishes to not correct this 81-year-old man who I knew wasn't going to get it and who has a wife with memory problems who is barely remembering who I am in the first place, let alone trying to add a layer, he came and yelled at me in the middle of our lobby of, well, that's not right. That's not what it says on your birth certificate. And I was like, well, one, how do you know? Have you seen that? I haven't seen that in a good 20 years. Could be anything on there for my Schrodinger's birth certificate at this point. But one, how do you know? But two, why is this your job? Why are you telling me who I am? Why are we in this credit union having a discussion about this at all? Get your money and go live your life. Does not affect you.
I've always wondered if it was like how would we can talk about this more later. I'm interested, like I've always wondered if it was like masculinity is a prison that I've stayed in. How dare you is a thing I've wondered about with people transitioning and the extreme pushback that I get more from men than women in my anecdotal experience. That could be a thing.
Definitely a little bit. You spend so long in a box that doesn't fit that when you do get out of it, it's like, I would really rather prefer that you do not try to put me back in that box. We did that for 25 years. We got out of that one. Please stop. Please stop putting me in that one. Thank you. But it's not, intent matters a lot. So when folks are, genuinely curious or they're not going to read the little nameplate next to me, it's not great feeling, but it's also a lack of malice does not necessarily isn't going to break me.
Well, thank you each for sharing your piece of the story. I really appreciate that. I noticed a thread through it, though. Courage to me kind of popped up in each situation. Courage in a situation, courage with people, courage with your own self as well to know to go forward. So, how have you taken that courage and all that you've been through in your life to this day? I also get the sense that you're each involved in some sort of activism or advocacy. How did you take that and channel, and what are you doing in that world today?
Do you want to
I,
start yet?
I,
Go
I'll
for it.
start. Sure. So I've always had younger people work for me. I was super fortunate when I left Nike in San Francisco. I went into a senior director position at Nike. So I was 20, 23 years old, basically running my own department. And I had, when I was at Nike, I had 20 something people work for me. And so I, I ended up learning from people at that age, right? I was very fortunate that I had some incredibly strong mentors along the way. I really didn't have a good father figure growing up. So I had these older men who mentored me and kind of filled those gaps for the lack of my father. So I like to, you know, I've actually gotten into it with my wife's father and actually had to tell him, listen, I don't have daddy issues. I've had plenty of men who have filled that gap for me. So I don't need you to be my daddy. Like, this is weird. So I was fortunate that I was able to be mentored by some of the best in inside of Nike. And I've just learned that it's all about paying it forward. And so today in my company, and when I was leaving, you know, my last few years at Nike, people that were about 10 years younger than me were coming to work for me. And when I was at Men's Health, same issue. And even today, so I spend a lot of my time mentoring young people. I do have a gay staff member, a LGBTQ member, and Rachel identifies they, them. So I do try to be very conscious of appreciating their pronouns. Sometimes I say her, and Rachel understands it's okay, right? Because it's I'm not trying to be malicious. It's just I'm old. I'm 46, so that's like old for me. You know, when you hit 40, when we were young, that was like over the hill. So I make a joke like, pronouns missed the boat with me, right? Like they were too late for me. I'm too old for pronouns, you know, fuck it. So I spend a lot of my time mentoring the young people that work for me and the people that, that come into my company today. And, I decided, you know, for 6 years while I was in business, I avoided every chamber here in the area because I thought that it was like a fraternity. You're paying these people to be your friends or to do business. So, I politely told them no for many years until, the LGBTQ chamber came around, and I joined hesitantly, truthfully, because I was like, why do I need to join a chamber? I never joined a fraternity or a sorority. So why would I do this? And I have now found myself heavily involved in the chamber to help advocate for our community, because if we don't do it, who will, right? You know, I tell people this, and people are just shocked by this, but I know Kim Reynolds personally. Like, this lady in the middle of Costco knows me, gives me a hug, knows the kids. I call them my kids, the kids that work for me. She knows my business because we do work for the state, truthfully, we do. I tell people too, you know, don't hate me, guys, but if Big Daddy Trump pays me 50 grand to make a commercial, I'm going to make that commercial and write bonus checks to my kids that work for me, because we're a small business and this is how we survive. You know, I'm not going to make political ads that make slam people, but if he just wants us to film him, okay. And maybe he gets shot in the process. Cool. You know, so I can say I was there. Who shot JFK, right? But, you know, like, my point is that, you know, we know Kim Reynolds, we do work for the state, but she votes against us every chance she gets. And it's crazy to me because my staff and I know her on a personal level. And let's be honest, I've been at some galas or galas, and I've seen her in the corner hanging out with the gay boys. So I know what's up. So, it's just all about, you know, I know that if we don't fight, who's going to fight for us? And I have a production company and we have hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of equipment. And I know I can use those for good and help create campaigns and ads for our community. Because if we don't, who will? Who will? Because the Republican initiative is so strong, it comes after us, and more importantly, the trans community. And it's painful to watch Because why? Why? You know these people have somebody in their family that's gay or trans or non-binary. You know. But I just don't understand. So I, you know, my kids, God love them. They have my back. And if I tell them this is what we're going to do, they do it. Because they know in their hearts it's the right thing to do. So that's where I find myself now in my 40s. It's crazy, right?
As a fellow sellout incrementalist, I have found myself advocating a lot with the activist types that I hang out with for the sort of diversity of tactics when it comes to advocacy and activism. Right, so don't tell everybody at City Hall that I'm a monthly donor to Iowa CCI Action Fund. But when they showed up and shouted down the city manager and the city council and yelled "Shame on you," that is not my I'm descended from a long line of like conflict averse Scandinavian farmers. You know, like that is not, I'm never gonna say "Shame on you" to an adult or probably anyone, but. Because they did that, when I called Scott Sanders and said, wow, those CCI people are really pissed. I know their talking points, but I want to know more what the city has to say, right? Because of that inside-outside activism, it was easy for me to get a one-on-one with the city manager. Because I'm the, for lack of a better term, like the straight man of a lot of that activism and advocacy work that I do. So I went to school for public policy, so I have a graduate degree in bureaucracy, is what I say there. It's been very helpful.
Politics.
Yeah.
Politics.
Yeah. Which I remind people, you don't hate politics, you hate partisanship. Politics is how we make decisions. But like, we just got to find another word because I think it's time to give up on that one. But anyway, I have been like a person who wanted to co-opt institutions since I kind of figured out they were there. Like, I'm not a start my own thing person nearly so much as like, if there's already a power structure in place, I would rather like infiltrate it and try to change it, which is the slow head against the brick wall path for sure. But I have the high tolerance for tedium that takes.
That's roots to your Scandinavian ties as well.
Yes, yes.
Raid the village over, take it over.
Truly. But like, you know, you and four friends can take over your neighborhood association. Like, there's like, it is, you know, it's like if 300 people had voted differently, I would be a city council person, right? Like, it's at a local level, it is so easy to have an impact. So the question kind of was, where are we with activism and advocacy? Man, it is much to my family's chagrin in my blood somehow. I started agitating against the death penalty when I was in elementary school. I started circulating a petition in my neighborhood when I heard Terry Branstad wanted to bring back the death penalty. And then I got involved, like I said, in queer civil rights in junior high. I have always just been wired to try to stick up for underdogs or to try to position myself with the people whose voices I think are not being heard enough.
Fight the man. Yes. Fight the man. I get it.
But not fight, you know, politely persuade.
No. That's what you would do. I fight old people, little kids, dogs, whatever. It is what it is.
That's perfect. And then I can be like, wow, Jen seems pissed. What do you think we could do different?
Make a video.
So it's that diversity of tactics. But yeah, I'm on the board for a nonprofit that's rehabbing a historic school building. I have been on the board for New Leaders Council, a progressive training institution. I try my best to trick my friends into running for office. It's worked about 5 times so far.
out of how many?
Oh, it's I say to a room like this, you should think about running for office.
Oh, okay.
And then when I think that someone is close, then we'll talk about why it's not as scary as they think.
Okay.
So it's, you gotta cast a wide net.
So it's like 10% effective?
Yeah,
Sure.
I'll take it.
Okay.
And then I've also been doing a lot of trainings with people who have said that they either want to work on campaigns or want to run for office. So I helped Deirdre Dejeer develop the curriculum for what's now Vision Leads. It was Vision 2020 at the time. I've done a lot of trainings for groups like Iowa CCI who want people who oppose the carbon pipeline to consider running for things like county supervisors so they can vote against it in their area. So I've been doing, I don't know, I've been working on campaigns for a decade has taught me a lot of campaign skills I can use to make a network of activists.
Yeah, and where you've been the person who gets to, or who like does the, hey, they seem really mad. What can we do differently? I'm the person who's really mad. I was at that shame on you protest. Absolutely. I was right up in the front yelling shame, shame, shame. Not actually a part of CCI, but
Sure.
definitely heard about it, showed up and was there for every queer protest of the last legislative session. Whoops.
That was like every week you were there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Luckily, at that time, I was working with the choir, and so I had more of a flexible schedule. So I was
Sure.
like, hey, friends, taking a long lunch. I'm going to be at the Capitol for somewhere between 1 and 7 hours. We'll get back to you to continue doing work after that. But I have gotten really involved in going to the Capitol and kind of trying to make a difference that way, being a presence there. And then in the community, I really love getting to create space for folks. I left my home state of South Dakota because it didn't feel like there was a place for me to be safe there. Sioux Falls was the closest they had, and they're still quite far behind where even Des Moines is, and especially where Des Moines was. When I came here, I knew I wanted to create space for folks. So when I joined the Des Moines Gay Men's Chorus, I, unbeknownst to me, accidentally made it very trans friendly. We went from two he theys to somewhere fluctuating between 20 and 30% of the organization being trans non-binary representing in 2 years, 2.5 years. Enough so that I helped found and am an original member of Transcendent, Iowa's only trans and non-binary vocal ensemble, one of maybe 10 in the country.
Cool. Cool.
We just went to Gala back in July, had our premiere performance on an international stage, and I was actually the one who gave the speaking points. I was the one who actually introduced the ensemble when we performed. I presented a workshop there as well on how to create a trans-friendly space for your gala chorus. So to turn more of these, to open the doors in more of these institutional spaces that, when they were founded, had to be this space for gay men who were, in such a critical point in their history, needing a space for community and needing that place to get together and be safe. And taking that legacy and allowing us to open the doors and expand that and move the safety to include as many queer people as we can possibly get in the room. And so the Des Moines Gay Men's Chorus always has a special place in my heart for exactly that reason. And then I also sit on the board for Girls Rock Des Moines. And I recently joined the board for Lavender Legal, which is a LGBTQ law center out of Cedar Rapids, that does a lot of work with name change documents and folks works for trans individuals. So, yeah.
Thanks to each of you. This is just incredible to hear about your story, your impact, things that we wouldn't have known. I didn't know, so thank you for sharing those. It's incredible what one individual can do and how you can be woven into society and make a change. Before we wrap up, does anybody have a question? We have time for maybe one or two questions. In the interest of time, thank you again for being open, honest, and vulnerable, sharing your story. And just to remind everybody, this is important. Find your story, share it. Just don't keep it yourself, or take the time to listen to someone else. I mean, I'm so inspired. I was actually getting the goosebump chills over here when each of you spoke, trying to visualize where you were, what you're doing, and the potential that you have and the impact that you're having. So thank you for your time today. It was fantastic, and have a blessed week.
Thanks for the invitation.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.